Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I've been thinking this week on a subject that I wanted to share, something that is near and dear to my heart. And I was out walking with my ministry partner today. We go for a mile walk every morning, and she walks in Las Vegas, and I walk in Weatherford, Texas, and we have our time together on the phone. And I was thinking of that verse, many are called and few are chosen. You know, there's really no mystery to that verse because, you know, people wonder, well, who are the chosen? You know, if many are called, who are the chosen? The ones that answer the call are the chosen. And the call is to lay down our life so that Christ can live his life through us. And when he does that, he lives through us and he expands our whole view of life because he is always expanding. God is always expanding. He's never sitting in one place. And so today I want to talk about how we limit God. And I've got a chapter in my book that I'm going to read. And I've got an article that I wrote this week. And I'm just going to share some things about what it means to release God to be God. Because the way I see it today in the church, it's time for us to allow God to be God. And God is the unlimited one who lives in us and as us. And so I was thinking, you know, what was I going to share about to begin with? And I thought I'd start, you know, with when I got sick 2 years ago. In April of 2011, I got sick. I was at a Goodwill, and I bent down to get a book for my grandson, and I felt something pop in my back. And I'd been a truck driver for 20 years, so I thought, well, it's just something that, you know, cold muscle or something, so I'll go home and ice it, and I'll be okay. And the next morning, I woke up, and I couldn't get out of bed. And that began a 77-day ordeal, where I eventually found out after being misdiagnosed that I had an abscessed infection in my spine. And it could pop at any time, and I could be paralyzed or I could die. And my business was down the tubes at that time, and we didn't have any medical insurance. And so Linda put out an appeal to one of her friends on Facebook, and within a few short hours, they'd raised enough money for me to get an MRI. And I credit that MRI to this day, we do, for saving my life. Well, 16 days into that ordeal, I wish I could tell you I was sitting in my bedroom and I was praising God and I was thanking him for the trial, but I wasn't. I was sitting in there whining about how hard I had it and why God wasn't coming through. And after all I'd done for him and all I'd given up, why wasn't he coming through for me? And Linda walked in the door it was the 27th of April in 2011, and she said David Wilkerson was just killed in a head-on collision outside of Dallas. And she said, and this was the last thing he wrote. And she read this article, and it's in my book. It's in the title, A Greater Glory. It's in that chapter. And the name of the article was When All Means Fail. And I was at the end of myself. We had nowhere to go. We didn't know what we were going to do for money because I couldn't work. I ended up in the hospital. After that day, I had 61 days more of that where I went into the hospital. 2 weeks into the hospital, they found a grapefruit-sized tumor on my right kidney in addition to the abscess in my spine. That could have also killed me. All the doctors had bet that it was cancerous. And it came back with no cancer. And it lasted 77 days. And that really was one of the eye-openers for me in how I had limited God. And so today I want to talk about releasing the limitations and how we're able to, as we release our life to God, just as we are. This has nothing to do with religion. This has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with behavior. It has nothing to do with anything that we can do, because the finished work is the finished work. It is finished, is what Jesus said on the cross, not to be continued. And so it's the finished work, and we enter into that finished work by grace. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so I want to begin by reading this, and this might be a two-part show. I might start this week and end next week. But day 8 in my book, Rich in Christ, the devotional that I wrote earlier this year, is titled, "And They Limited the Holy One of Israel." And they limited the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 78:41. I'm amazed as I look back on the last few years how God has at times given me glimpses of his unlimited power. But not only is unlimited power in relation to the corporate body or the whole of our lives, but more specifically, his desire to be the unlimited one, the ever-expanding one in us, all of the different members of his body, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me, John 17:21. As I thought about the unlimited Christ, I began seeing passages in the Bible in a whole new way. Passages like the one in Isaiah, where God paints a picture of our unlimited life in him as an eagle soaring high above our high places. And this passage then brought to mind Habakkuk, the prophet of God, who looks around him only to see misery and barrenness, at which time his spiritual eyes are open to see the unlimited God in the middle of all of his seeming lack. Then I thought of David, who after Jonathan, his covenant partner, dies in battle, goes out searching for Jonathan's remaining descendants, a picture of us, finding Jonathan's son, a lame man named Mephibosheth. David eventually finds him hiding in a place called Lodibar, meaning barrenness and limitation. Here David, being a picture of the father, takes this man, who is the last descendant of Jonathan, into the king's unlimited kingdom, where he goes from barrenness and limitation to the unlimited supply of David's kingdom. I then thought of Elijah and the widow woman, who because of her selfless act eats of the unlimited bread and oil, the oil being a perfect picture of the manna in the wilderness, the daily bread of life, which comes from heaven. And finally, I thought of Jesus and how he feeds the 5,000 plus, all with a kid's lunch. More like 15,000 people altogether, because it was 5,000 men, and that did include the women and children. So at least 15,000. Can you see it? How can we not see it? And they limited the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Translation, in my own words, in Christ the old consciousness of limitations has died, and in its place the unlimited Christ has taken up residence in the form of the same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead. Christ is the one who lives in us and through us, so that we may see as he sees. And what does he see? He sees everything new and everything now. The new consciousness of the unlimited Christ in us and as us has swallowed up the old consciousness of seeing more than God and all of its attached limitations. Paul said in Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life, one law, one, in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death." 2. 1. The single eye of Christ has set us free from looking beyond God and looking for something other than God. We have become weak. We have become weakness. "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." 1 Corinthians 9:22. My translation of that verse, we have become weakness for the weak and brokenness for the broken, so that the ones who still see themselves as being separated from him can finally discover the truth of who they truly are in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, will appear, you will appear with him also in glory. Colossians 3:4. My translation, when Christ, the unlimited one, makes himself known, we will understand our union in him. And in knowing who we are, we will also understand his glory is not a place which is limited by time or is focused on a specific event. His glory is, in fact, the person of Jesus Christ. When we finally see this truth, we will understand this verse is not just information concerning a future life in heaven, but it is about the unlimited revelation of Christ in us. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. I believe God is saying now is the time to come out from under the cloud of earthly limitations. Now is the time to walk in the newness of life from the unlimited kingdom of Christ in us. And so how do we do that? Well, you cannot walk in the unlimited kingdom of God with a limited view of life. And the one thing that causes us to have a limited view of life more than anything else as believers today is holding on to our perception of what life is. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25 that if we lose our life, we'll find it. But if we hang on to our life, we'll lose it. Well, what does that mean? That means that God has a life that is his life that he wants to live in and through us, a life without limitations, a life where he is able to do the exceeding abundance beyond all that we can ask, think, or even imagine. And so we want to go out into ankle-deep water, and we think that's enough. And God says, no, come out to waist-deep water. So we come out to waist-deep water, and we think we're really something. And God says, no, come out to your neck. So we go out to our neck. And God says, do you really want everything that I have for you? You want everything? Well, then you're going to have to come out to where there's no bottom. Because if you're touching bottom, you're not trusting me. And with that, I'm going to read this article that I wrote earlier this week. And it's called that. It's called Removing the Bottom. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us, Matthew 27:42. When John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? See, when it came down to it, and John had given his life, and he was standing there before the guillotine or the axe or whatever it was that was going to take his head from his body, John wanted to know that he was giving his life for the right one. In other words, he had that ingrained desire to preserve his life because that came with the fall. And that's the part of every natural human being. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. And you know, that's exactly, Paul called it the foolishness that people who didn't hold to the message of the cross called it foolishness. And he called those people perishing, not that they weren't saved, but that they weren't growing. They weren't thriving on the vine. They were perishing. Think of a grape on that grapevine. And it's either perishing or it's thriving. And Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it's the power of God. Who are us? It's we who have come to the end of all things and have said, I want all that you have for me, Lord. Sink or swim, live or die, you're my life. Not just a lifestyle. We can see by the above verses the deepest ingrained desire of humanity is to save itself, sadly, most believers keep on trying to save themselves long after they consider themselves saved, at least by modern-day church standards. And what I'm saying there is they believe they're saved by grace. This is fire insurance for a future time when they no longer suffer, because that's what we've been taught in our churches today, what salvation is all about. That you're saved and now you can wait for the next coming event, whether it be the rapture or the next conference or the next book or the next speaker or the second coming or something far off that has nothing to do with God now. As long as we can touch bottom, we will never see the unlimited God move in our midst. As long as we hold to this false view of the Christian life that says, I can go on serving God while still maintaining some semblance of control myself, we will never see his unlimited and unseen resources fill what is, by all appearances, the place of our complete lack. God knows exactly what we need at all times. And it isn't so much as trusting what it is he will do as it is entrusting our all to the one we say we know. You see, if we do know him, even as we are known by him, then we can trust him. But if we know about him, knowing about him doesn't have anything to do with a relationship. I can know all about you, but that doesn't mean I know you. People know me. They know me in the good. They know me at my worst. And they love me either way. And those are the people I can say know me. They know who I am. And there's no possible way to know he will never leave or forsake us until we are left with him alone. In the same way, there's no possible way that we can know his love is what he says it is until we are brought to the end of all limited, performance-centered human love. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. Matthew 16:25. There's that verse. And if today we say we love him and are ready to lay down all of our controlling ways and trust Christ alone, and yet are still afraid to move out into the deep water, the water that is over our head, what then? Well, God has a simple solution for that as well, because he looks on the heart and he sees the cry of your heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He's not concerned with your behavior. He's looking on your heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is crying out to him. So here, what's God's solution for that? If you're afraid to move out into the deep water, God has a simple solution for that. He simply removes the bottom. So we're forced to learn how to swim. This is his plan. Though it seems harmful, it's his way of growing us up in him beyond the life of Jesus for me living. This is the plan which takes us beyond us and into the exceeding abundance beyond all we can ask or think. And guess what? There is no plan B. Well, guys, I'm just about out of time already, but I want to share something that we have decided as a ministry that we are going to do from this day forward. Because we don't live out of the limited resources of Rich in Christ Ministries. In fact, the only resource we live by is his unlimited resources. And so God has challenged us in the last couple of weeks. And so here is our new offer for the body of Christ, for anyone who's listening to my voice today. Well, I'm going to post it on Facebook. From this point on, we are giving away any of our materials free of charge. And anyone who contacts me on Facebook, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K, and gives me a return address with a postal code, we are going to send my book, Rich in Christ, a 31-day Deeper Life Daily Devotional, and if you read it, your life will never be the same. Not because of me. I didn't write it. I'm just the writing instrument. God wrote it. And we're going to send that book around the world free of charge, postage paid. And there's not any other ministry on the face of this planet that is doing this. We're paying for the postage for your book to get there. Because for us, this is the challenge. Is our passion more about trusting the unlimited God who has been revealing himself to me for these past 33 years? Is that my passion? Or is my passion great, is a greater passion in preserving my life by trying to sell God and market him in some way? This last week, I read of a popular grace teacher who's having a conference and is charging $90 for you to go to it. And if you haven't got $90, you can't go. We're not doing that. We're not target marketing. We are for the highways and the byways. We're going out and we're bringing them in. And if the ones are too busy and they don't want to hear this message of losing your life to gain Christ, that's fine. At some point in time, we believe God will bring them to that place. This ministry right now is in its beginning stages. This ministry consists of a three-stranded cord, myself, Joan Riley, and my wife, Linda, and we get together every night, every single night by Skype, Joan in Las Vegas, Linda and I here in Texas, and we present ourselves to God. And we believe this is what God is saying to us. So if you want a book, and this is not a mini book, this is not a pamphlet, this is a 200-page book that I wrote earlier this year. It's a 31-day devotional. It's deeper life. It's all or nothing reading. And if you're ready to go there, if you're the many who are called and the few are chosen, the few are the ones who have accepted this all or nothing call. That's the few. And if you're ready to go there, then we want to give you a book. We want to get this in your hands because we know it can change your life. And we're hearing testimony after testimony of people like Jeannie from Texas who's reading the book, and other people like Tamara in another part of the United States, and other people who are reading this book, and it's changing their life. And like I said, not because of what I wrote, but because of what God's heart is. Because years ago, I said, God, I want everything you have for me. And I prayed this prayer, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. That was 30 years ago I prayed that prayer, and God has been faithful. I've lost homes, I've lost jobs, I've lost my identity, I've lost my reputation, I've lost any other desire for any earthly thing except for seeing God manifested in his people. And the end of performance-based religion, that is our only goal. That's our only quest. So guys, that's it. Contact me in a private message, Rich Novick, N-O-V-E-K. Give me your name and address, and we will send the book to you postage paid. And that's it. No hooks, no if-onlys, no you have to, no signing up on an email list, nothing. Freely we've received, and freely we are giving. When we are not giving, God is giving through us, and that is all we are. We're the picture of him giving. That's it. Because him giving is him loving. Father, I just thank and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the powerful truth of who you really are with these wonderful people. I'm asking, God, today that you would prick the hearts of people across this land, God. I know there aren't very many people listening to this radio show, Lord, but I know somebody's going to tune in and somebody's going to hear exactly what they need to hear, and it's that person I'm praying for, God. I'm praying for that one who is the few, the base, the lowly, the things that are not, the have-nots, the highways and the byways, people of God, that haven't got the money to go to the $90 conference. I'm asking, God, that you make yourself so real to them today. You make yourself as real as rain. When you reveal yourself to them, God, right there where they're sitting in their broken life, where they can't do one more performance-based act for you. And let them know that this is the greatest place of freedom they could ever be. Contrary to their feelings, contrary to everything religion is telling them, contrary to what most of the church is telling them. So, Lord, I just thank you and praise you again and give you the glory and give you the honor in Jesus' name. Folks, this is Real Life with Rich in Christ. We talk about real Christianity. Every day, rubber meets the road. Mud and the blood and the beer, broken, hurting people who are looking for a real relationship with a real God. We come with real content. And so you can go to my website and get some free content. There's about 40 articles there. www.richinchristnow.com. You can go over to Rich in Christ, my Facebook page. There's more stuff there. You can look on my regular page. But we have decided today that freely we've received and freely we're going to give. And so I'm at about the 25-minute mark. And so I'm going to continue this same subject next week, releasing the limitations. And we're going to talk about the fact that we're already walking in that place, we just may not know it. So God bless. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ.